Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this October 21st day, 2018. We're going to look at gratifications and what that's all about, and maybe that'll help you a little bit in, well, for those of you who are authentic in seeking an authentic way to live your life beyond the shackles of the pedestrian mentality of which most of us, including me, do suffer from. So let's get into it. I want to remind you we're in our year-end fundraising drive. Our mystery donor is matching donations. He's being very kind and generous. If you make a donation to Aspire, let's say you make a $10, $15, $25 donation, he'll match it. If you become a sponsor, he will match your sponsorship no matter at what level you do it. Sponsors are people who give gifts either monthly or quarterly. And these donations are the lifeblood of our organization, the lifeblood of this work that I do, our radio, our TV, and he will match them. So if you give $25 a month, he will match that. If you give $50 a quarter, he will match that. This is very, very important for us to stay alive here on radio. So if you're interested in being a part of the sponsorship program and you get a lot of wonderful goodies for being a sponsor, mainly the message of the month that I send out each and every month on a different subject, as well as the commentaries, podcasts, video casts, and you have access to all of the Aspire discourses that I did for all of the TV programs over the years. They're all there from the very first one we did with all of the beauty of the Eightfold Path to the Tao, to Nobody Likes You Anyway, to Passing Through the Fires and what it means to have an authentic spiritual practice, the sound of one hand clapping, the Beatitudes, all of that is there for you for free. And you can listen to them, download them, and use them any way you like. It is my gift to you for being a sponsor. So if you're interested, go to the website at aspire.org. You will see there on the splash page, year-end donation. There's a little story there for you, and I make some comments about that story. It's about the five fools, our five senses, and a story that the Buddha told, and I think you'll find it kind of interesting. I do, and I hope to hear from you very soon, very, very soon. Gratification, what is it? It is something that most people find very necessary to their life. Their whole life is based around and built around the idea of gratification. Gratification is to do anything that would make the emotionality of us feel comfortable, make it feel warm at home, feeling vivified, verified. It is often used as a point of building the ego. You know, we have to have an ego, don't we? Well, where do you think it came from? Most of our ego stuff comes from the whole idea of what it is to be a person who is popular, always feeding the body with some kind of gratification that makes us feel worthy or happy or whatever. So there you are, gratification. It is an interesting subject. We're going to talk about it. It's something emotional, pleasurable. It causes people to feel like they are doing the right thing in their life, that whatever they're doing is going to make them happy. And anyone I have found who criticizes the gratification and all of that is considered evil. First question comes from, Daniel. He does not tell me where he lives. How much should any of us really be concerned about the depth of our gratifications? I listen to you on radio and I enjoy it. Thank you. And I was just wondering, you talk about gratification a great deal on your programs and in your TV programs. Please advise, Daniel. Daniel, I am... we live for our emotionality. I don't have any good news here. And this is where people get so turned off with the authentic practice. There are various forms of spiritual practice. When some of them aren't spiritual till they get to the authentic, they're just placating. But most people would never think of giving up their gratifications. They never think in terms of this. It is not what gratifies me, it's how it gratifies me. It is not just what gratifies me, it's how it gratifies me. And then I have to look at how I'm living. This starts a whole series of very difficult admissions that people don't want to talk about, that people just want to do. And they will say, well, everybody's doing it, so it should be okay, blah, 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 blah. It gratification and the emotions that stem from it are motivators in our behaviors. They give us a whole range of things to feel in our body to comfort us and to enlarge, engage, and manifest our ego. And that's really what it's all about. It's about ego. So what is gratification in the form of the human being? Let me just say a couple of little things about this. This is just simple stuff. Gratification is how the body interprets anything that alters the mood of the body and hence alters the mood of the mind. And when the mind is affected by emotions, which is the culprit of all of our spiritual mischief, and that's all we can think about, that's all we can do, that's all we can kind of be with, that is when we have great difficulty in our life and we start creating the mischief and the karma of our life. Gratification also has a lot to do with our genetic nature. Now, depending on what my genetics are all about and how I live with my genetics inside myself, I will want certain gratifications. These gratifications are not always going to be things that are good for my body. They may not be good for my perseverance towards a spiritual practice or the ability to even recognize what a spiritual practice is. Most people are so ensconced, Daniel, in their idea of what it is that gratifies them that they build their whole life around it and then they call it love. Whatever gratifies that ego, whatever makes that ego feel right about itself or good about itself, whatever gratification brings about such things as feeling important, useful, essential, all of that has to do with gratification. How concerned should I be about it in my life? I should be very concerned. And what to do about it? Because, you know, you're going to live with a certain amount of gratification. You just are. And we'll talk about that in just a moment here. I want you to see how the human works. The human works to gratify itself, to enlarge its proportions of gratification, to go extreme in it, which makes it feel, quote unquote, good about itself, which we consider the idea of being esteem, like self-esteem. And because we live in it in that way, the entire range of our human social system of living, where we are social with each other, where we talk with each other, how we talk with each other, when we talk with each other, it's got to be all about me, 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 me. Hence, gratification is not only for human beings in the sense of giving them a sense of identity and ego, but it also forms the entire what I would call the human system of sociology, how we interact with each other. And if you've ever been sitting around with people and talking about, you know, what's going on with you, it's all about the things that either gratify us or don't gratify us. That's as far as the conversation can go. It isn't anything with depth or clarity. There is no way to talk about it in any other way but that way. And we miss the meaning of our life, the meaning of our existence. We miss everything because the entire idea of being motivated by emotional gratification is the only thing that matters to us. Anyone or anything that gets in the way of that is out of there. This is why millennials don't like going to church. It gets in the way of their gratifications. Now, you know, going to church is not a thing for me. I did it for many, many years, and believe me, I can tell you it's way overrated. And in the church environment, you have to have a lot of entertainment now. You have to have bands and choirs and all sorts of things to entertain the people and hit their emotional chords. And if you hit their emotional chords correctly, yowza, you got the money pot. You hit the honey pot. But if you don't, don't have a band and all that other stuff, then you don't have the people, because people, if they're going to give money, they want to be entertained and gratified in some way or another. And believe me, clever teachers, ministers and priests know this. They know what grabs you: emotion and guilt and shame and hope and glory and all that other stuff. And they're placating you, and it's gratification. Daniel, I got to go to other questions. Yours is a great one. It's a big one. I could go on and on and on with it. Please forgive me for not doing that, but I have to do some other wonderful questions too. Bless you, dear Daniel, whoever you are, and thank you for your listening to me and watching me on TV here. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. The next one comes from Ingle. And Ingel asks, what is gratification exactly? I want to know when I'm doing it, when I'm not. Ingel, listen to me. We're all doing it. You know, anything can be gratification. Anything you're proud of, anything you enjoy, and that adds to the enjoyment, your emotionality of identifying with your ego more and more and more. Because pretty soon, what you enjoy becomes what you are, becomes who you are, becomes the way you are. It's all about all of that. And if you continue to live in that way, in that demeanor, you're going to miss everything that is deeply significant and important in your life. So let's talk a little bit about gratification, which also, believe it or not, can spur bipolar disorders in people. And this is not me, this is just scientific, and I agree because I've seen it in my own career with people I've had who are very bipolar students. A bipolar student doesn't make it in the practice at all. It's not even something I'm interested in. They have to go take care of their bipolar side before they can really come into the practice. So I don't deal with that anymore. I've had many a bipolar student, and now I don't. And I do that on purpose because the illness, the mental illness that they have, is extremely important to understand. It affects their ability to concentrate, focus, and most of them become very judgmental, and there's that going on too. So let's talk about what is gratification. We gratify ourselves when our emotionality is not at a place of comfort within our body. So you're sitting there and you're bored. Why are you bored? People don't like to meditate because they get bored. What bores them? Well, the mind is used to a certain level of activity, a certain level of gratification, whereby it is getting some instant form of emotionality, something that is fulfilling the ability of the human body to feel comforted or to feel rewarded or to feel what most people would just call good. Okay? Now, this goes on 24/7. Your body is always looking for comfort. It knows it's susceptible to injury and illness. It does not realize what causes illness. A lot of gratifications do. And then we get sick and are, you know, shocked to find out that the pills you took for Strawberry Fields Forever kind of thing, where you were escaping your life through LSD or whatever, or even prescription now. I mean, this is just getting way out of hand with people. And then you have, of course, our friend marijuana, and then you have LSD, and then you have food, alcohol. Oh, yes, alcohol is a big one. We have all sorts of different ways to quantify the idea of emotional gratification. Anything that alters the emotions to feel different or better or comforted than the genetics are that live within us, and the chemical balance and imbalance that is going on both in the body and the brain causes us to want to become gratified. So when you're meditating, you're fighting against your own brain. You're fighting against the chemistry of your brain. You're fighting against the genetics of your body. And that's what the real difficulty is. And it's because they're not getting gratified. In other words, they're not getting reinforced. The ego is not propped up and it's not getting reinforced. When this kind of difficulty arises in us, we have problems with our life. We do. And we start to want more and more and more gratification, more things that emotionally make us feel good. Now, is it wrong to gratify ourselves? Now, listen to me, and here is the key. You can't avoid gratification. It's how far you will go with that gratification. How far will you take it into your life? How important will it be? I understand the middle road. It took me years to get there, but I understand it deeply. You have to find the middle road, the middle way. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Not too much of this, not too much of that. Now, I can't give you rules for all of this. You will have to know. But here's some clues. When you want more of anything after you've had enough of anything, it is time to back off. The object of the effort is to see what is bugging you. What is bugging us to such a degree? What is it that we don't like that is so predominant in us that we have to use drugs, alcohol, marijuana, and any distraction that we can find to make our emotions feel, quote-unquote, good? I think you will find it is genetic. And if you can understand that it is the basic genetics of your body that wants to avoid, let's say, becoming depressed, unhappy, moody, whatever, then you will understand why you want a gratification. Your emotions on the inside are saying, you know, we're getting to the end here, and if you don't do something quickly about how we feel, we are going to nag you, or we're going to do something ugly, or we're going to feel really, really bad, and we're going to ask you to do something that maybe you shouldn't be doing, like go smoke a joint just to feel better about yourself, or go have a drink because you just emotionally can't take it, whatever is going on. When you and I live in this mentality, then we're in trouble. When you have to live from one gratification to another, Ingle, that is the problem. That is the issue. when you can live in the gap and the pause between your thoughts, between one thing and another, and you feel your oneness in that, which you can through the practice and through meditation, of course, which is the practice, you find the way. Your body will never like it. Your body will never enjoy the practice, never. Your emotions are not going to be leaping out of bed in the morning to meditate. They're just not. And you got to be okay with that. You have to ask yourself, who am I, what am I, and what is going to rule the rest of my life? What is going to rule the rest of my life? And only you can decide. It takes perseverance, it takes patience, and it takes effort. And if you have those things, a great deal of goodness will flower in you. And eventually, in that gap, you will find the meaning of your entire life. Trust me, you will. I gotta go. I got one more question. It's a great question. I hope I helped you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Rick. He does not tell me where he lives. Are we not here to have fun? No doom and gloom. Isn't this the whole idea of our life, to have fun, Rick? Fun can certainly be a part of our life. It really can be. I have degrees of fun, but I never let it be my lifestyle. I let love be my lifestyle. I let the livingness of love be my lifestyle. I don't attack. I don't look for vengeance. I'm not into pride. I don't care what people think. I stay the course. And if you believe that we're here just to have fun, which I have been told by quite a few people, you're not the only person that said this to me. Recently, I had a student in session say, well, everything has to be fun or I don't do it. Really? So this whole attitude is the one that has gotten the world in trouble where we are today. It's fun to have sex. It's fun to make babies. I guess it is. There's too many of us. It's fun to cheat people. It's fun to think you're better. It's fun to think you're worse. It's fun to do things that maybe help you overcome the whole idea of being depressed. It's fun till a daddy takes the T-bird away. That's the way we think. If you only live for the fun, where is the gravitas? Where is the meaning? And if you make that the meaning of your life, you will find in the end you destroy your health. Your ability to focus and concentrate will be destroyed. Utterly destroyed. You will not have the compassion to understand people, much less yourself. You won't understand what it is that is going on around you in order to, well, help. You won't even want to help because gratification takes that away. You won't be able to control your behavior, your impulses. You won't be able to understand anything that's really going on inside you. You will just continue on over and over and over again, thinking, believing, wanting, desiring, trying to find happiness all of your life. That's what people mean when they are unhappy and they're seeking happiness. Happiness is a quality of consciousness, not something outside of us. Happiness is what lives within you. And it has nothing to do with what people are thinking or what they want or what they don't want. Happiness is just really what you are. And if you're not happy in any given situation, then you've missed your entire life. And there's nothing that's going to make you happy. Nothing, Rick. I'm out of here. I hope that helped. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, what a weekend, huh? I hope you enjoyed the two programs this weekend. And if you have comments or questions, you know how to get a hold of me, greg@aspire.org. Or go to the website at aspire.org, and you can email me from there with any question or comment you like. I'm out of here. I'll see you next week. Have a beautiful, beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.